everyone, and welcome to minute 47 of season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Nick Rehack of the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thank you for having me back, man. I appreciate it.
And I'm glad to have you back. So minute 47 begins with the men taking cover at the wall and ends with Hill giving Miller a report. So we ended things yesterday with the men showing up in this little town, which we will find out is called Newville, and they were trying to figure out where they need to go, and they ran for cover behind a wall. And this minute begins with them standing behind the wall, getting ready to move forward to go to the next place where they can try to go. And, Ryben is leading them as they move forward. And each of them takes cover in different places as they try and move across. And they hook up with a bunch of other U.S. soldiers who are here. And Ryben screams, go, 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 go. And then, as they come up to these other men, we hear one of the guys say, "You guys are a sight for sore eyes." And then one of the other guys goes, "Sergeant Hill, our relief showed up." And the response was, "How many are you?" And you can see the look on these guys' face that they're so happy that they finally gotten their relief. They've been waiting for this. And it's a funny question that Hill asks, where he says, how many are you? Like, why does that matter if you're my relief? It's like the idea that it's your problem once you're relieving me, that type of thing. So I find it to be a very strange question that he's asking it that way.
Or it could just be a weird foreshadowing thing of like, how many you got? Because you're going to need all of them. Or
could be.
Good luck. Like, they're looking out for the next person. Or they just feel sorry for him. And they're just like, how many? Ooh.
Yeah, good luck to you guys. I mean, we're never really sure exactly how many men Hill has here, because it's hard to count because they're spread out so far. So, there's only a few of them that we actually get names of and stuff like that, which we'll talk about a little bit on the way. So, first of all, let's talk about who Hill is. Are you familiar with the actor who plays Sergeant Hill? Have you seen him in anything else?
I've seen him in a handful of things.
Okay. So who is the actor?
The actor in question is Mr. Paul Giamatti.
Oh, Paul Giamatti. I've seen him in a few things also.
He's usually floating around award season.
Yeah. And he's quite good at that. Does a nice job.
Very much so.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Paul Giamatti?
I am a big Paul Giamatti fan. I don't know what it is, but even as a little kid, when I saw him in like Big Fat Liar, where they turn him blue, I was like, man, there's something about this guy. I don't know. And every time I watch a movie that he's in, or I forget that he's in, he just keeps going up and up and up in my estimation. Even when it's like little one-off roles, like in Truman Show, where he's just like a random guy there for a little bit, or just these little bits and pieces here and there, he's still so good. Even in movies that are like terrible, he's still one of the best parts of them. In my opinion, it's a shame he hasn't won more Oscars. I get it, but he is a phenomenal actor, and I don't want to be like, oh, it'd be great to meet him someday, but I mean, I think it'd be cool, but I'm also like, even now I can't even come up with the words. Like, I think I would be a little too fangirlish and it would be like off-putting and wouldn't be like a normal, hi, how are you interaction. It would be like, there's no way. it would just be too much. But no, I'm a big fan of Paul Giamatti.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your favorite movie of his?
That's a good one. For the longest time, it was Win-Win. It's a movie about a wrestling coach for high school. But recently I saw The Holdovers, and that was really, really good. Like, so much better than I thought it would be. I love him in Billions. It was fun seeing him. The wife is a big Downton Abbey fan, so to see him pop up in there is great. And I heard that he is coming back to reprise his role in the movie, which the wife is excited about because that means like I have to go see it with her. but anytime he shows up in something, I'm all for it. But yeah, win-win for sure. Sideways, great. Cinderella Man, he's good. He's just really, really good.
Okay. I mean, my favorite of his movies is Sideways. I've always been a big fan of Sideways.
It's a good one.
I like the holdovers. I did like it, but I his character has his ups and downs there.
He's not the best person for sure. He's definitely, like you said, he's a little rough around the edges, but
yeah,
he's a good man.
Yes, he is. So the funny thing is he's at the time that this movie came out, I'm assuming that most people did not recognize him and did not know who he is.
Oh, especially, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could with a scene like this, how it's like super dark. And even he's putting on like a little bit thicker of a more like new, to me, it sounds like a more New York type accent than what we're like used to hearing from him. Like he kind of leans into it a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we talked about this during the second week. I think it was episode 6. There's a character who looks exactly like him. And, in the beginning, when they have they're in the Higgins boats. So there's one of the characters who looks exactly like him. And we had a debate back then. Again, I think it was episode 6, as to whether it is Paul Giamatti or not. Now, there's one minor flaw with thinking that it might be the same person. They were the Rangers who were coming in, and he's here. He's part of the 101 paratroopers. So, maybe it was his twin brother or something, but it definitely wasn't him. So, we could hope, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Not him. And at this point, they try to get a little bit more information as to what's going on here. And, Miller says, no, there's just 8 of us. We're not your relief. Sorry. And I love his response. He goes, you're not our relief? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, even just him leaning into it, he's like, huh?
He's like, how the hell is that possible? I was told that they were sending relief. So,
and that seems to be a common theme in the movie too. Oh, good, you guys are here. Hold on a second. What do you mean, hold on a second?
you're who? Who are you? What are you doing here? What are you supposed to be? I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing's it's done well. Yeah, I like the way that they do that. Each of these characters think that they're here for a reason, and they're not here for the same reason. That they really are. And stuff like that. And then Miller responds to him and goes, well, we're here for a Private Ryan. And first of all, did you notice the busy handwork that Hill is doing here? He's got like, I guess, a map in his hand or something that's completely trenched. And he's just holding onto it the whole time.
Yeah, and not even like really trying to cover it up. I think he's got maybe like a compass or something in there to help him kind of read it. But I mean, even then, like how it doesn't just deteriorate the rain, because it is pouring at this point and it hasn't let up. It's not a light. It's not a drizzle. No, it is coming down and they're just sitting in it. There's no alcove for cover. And then I think what it's either at that moment or the next, he just ditches it. And he's like, I guess this doesn't matter anymore. And then just runs exactly. off. And it's like, OK.
That's right. And he says, we're here for a Private Ryan. He goes, who? Ryan? What for? Is he here? Well, I don't know. Maybe he's with the mixed unit on the other side of town. It's hard to get to. The Germans punched a hole in our center a few hours ago. They cut us right in two. And then, what's his name again? He goes, Ryan. James Ryan. He dropped in with the 101st. And then he turns to one of the other guys and goes, Goldman, get me a runner up here. And so the one of the characters then screams, goes, runner. So the guy who plays Goldman, who I guess is maybe supposed to be the second in command or something like that. So I looked up who this actor is who plays him, and it shocked me, because in the movie he's credited as Ralph Taylor, but on IMDb this actor's real name is one that I probably can't even pronounce. Because his name is Raffaello Di Grottola. Definitely doesn't sound like a Ralph Taylor to me from that perspective. And he actually has 67 IMDb credits. I didn't come across anything that really sticks out that he's done that I could say, oh, I remember him from any of those, from any of those movies. I mean, he's also a writer. He's a director. He was in Rush and Quantum of Solace. Rush, he played one of the drivers, and in Quantum of Solace, he played the Alpha 2 driver. So I don't really know what that means, okay. But I guess he himself likes to drive fast cars, even though he's not a stuntman or anything like that. He doesn't have any stuntman credits. He directed 10 films, wrote 9. So he's been pretty active over the years.
Busy.
Yeah, definitely. No question about that. But again, he's here he's Goldman. So it made me think, okay, what does the name Goldman mean? You have any idea? Like the origin of it?
I mean, I would either say someone that is a banker or someone that actively mines for gold.
And you would be very correct. Do you know what country it stems from?
Well, the only thing I can think of, I mean, we always think of the U.S. and like the 1849 with the gold rush and everything. So I'm just going to go with my gut and say, yeah, the gold rush in the 1800s here in the U.S.
No, it goes all the way back. You can go all the way back to to 1066.
Around what?
The time of the Norman conquest. Okay, it was a Flemish surname that eventually moved over to England also. During the conquest and stuff like that. The basically at the time people just had first names. And they would add the suffix man when people started having last names. So there were people that were named Gold or Golda and stuff like that, and they would just add the man to it. So you have the gold man, Goldman type of thing.
Makes sense.
Again, there are recordings of this name over the centuries. There was someone in Yorkshire in 1297 named Adam Goldman. And in 1393, there was a woman named Maud Goldman. And then you have it in Scotland and Flanders. And I mean, it goes all over the place. Where they have this name of Goldman. I mean, they even have, if you can easily find the crest of the arm, the crest and arms of the family named Goldman. It was very easy to actually find that online. It's obviously still a popular surname. It is the 1,652nd most popular surname in America at this point.
Okay. Okay.
And there are nearly 20,000 people who have that last name living in the U.S. based on the latest census.
Well, I met one of them 4 years ago at the previous 5 years ago at the previous company I worked for. So that's kind of neat.
There you go. There you go. So you can tell him that you know 90,999 other people who have a similar last name that are apparently, that are in the U.S.
I like that.
Yeah. There are records of people from the family with the last name that showed up in New York in the early 1700s. You have people that came in the 1800s and a lot in Pennsylvania. There is a prominent one who showed up in California in 1850, which probably goes with what you were saying before about the gold rush. Yeah, so there's a lot of them. You have you know, a famous novelist, playwright, and screenwriter, William Goldman,
that makes sense.
Who was born in 1931 and passed away in 2018. He's known for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, The Princess Bride, you know, a bunch of other things also.
Damn.
There is a another screenwriter named Bo Goldman, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Melvin and Howard, who also, you know, he won two Oscars for that.
He did the screenplay. Okay, because in my head, yeah. I'm like, I thought Ken Kesey did One Flew Over the Cuckoo, but you said the screenplay, so that's...
Screenplays, yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah, so there's a lot of people with that name. Actually, we said nearly 20,000.
Let's go, five more.
There you go. So there's 19,995 others. Something to that effect. Right. So Goldman then, you know, screams out, "Runner!" And then at this point, we basically get a little bit more information from Hill, as he's both filling in Miller on what's going on and also giving us a little bit more information about what's going on here. And he has a little monologue, and he goes, "Jonesy, make a hole up there. We got stopped from intense fire action from the eastward. The Germans have been reinforcing two regiments all day. The streets have been quiet for about 45 minutes. Most of the German fire now is concentrated to the west." So again, I mean, it's gobbledygook speak to us, because we don't really know everything that they're talking about and what they really mean. But, you know, it still works really well in explaining to us, you know, the situation that they're in. They're in a dire situation. You know, Hill and his men are basically cut off from the rest of the men on the other side of the other side of the town. You know, so you know, not a situation you necessarily want to be in.
Less than ideal.
Yeah. And then you know, as he's giving this exposition, there he's sort of walking, but you see that Hill is moving in an uncomfortable way. And, you know, we'll wait a little bit till later in the week to actually find out what's going on with him. We'll actually only find out 100% next week. But still, it's nice acting the way that he's doing it, you know, showing us that there is something that is bothering him along the way. But like I said, we'll have to wait a little while to figure out exactly what it is that is bothering him. And that's all I have for this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
One thing I like about this scene that's comprised, or this minute, excuse me, that involves yesterday's minute and will involve tomorrow's minute, it's part of what a lot of people called like a Spielberg one-er. So you have that glorious one-take shot in Goodfellas by Scorsese, right, where it follows I can't think of characters' names, but they go into the kitchen as they go into the restaurant, that kind of, and the whole thing is done in one shot, right? Spielberg has a lot of these throughout his career, and he'll put a lot of them in films, but they're so subtle that you don't realize what's happening until the moment has happened. So this entire minute is just one continuous shot. There's no edits, there's no cuts. And what's so great about that, and what's so important about that, is they're giving us exposition, yes, and they're trying to fill us in of like, okay, where we are, what's the status report? And all we have to do is just focus on Giamatti and let him kind of run this monologue, if you will. Like, he just gets to talk and tell everybody, and our focus is on him. It's not cutting back and forth, and our eyes have to fix and adjust, and we kind of lose a little bit of step in where we are. We're just with them. And it adds to the tension. It adds to the realness of, like, we're just stuck in a rainstorm, and this guy's like, yeah, good luck, because here's what we're up against. And it makes it that much more powerful a scene and powerful a moment, without having to go over the top on, you know, a musical score that's trying to shove down your throat and how you should feel, or with over the top acting. It's just, it's the delivery of it. It just feels and looks so real, because it's not like overly heightened by everything else. And I'm always, always impressed by stuff like that.
Right. It's true. Now, one thing I wanted to go back to, one of the things that Hill mentions when they're trying to find Ryan, so he says maybe he's with a mixed unit on the other side of town, you know, which obviously they can't get to because the Germans punched a hole in the center and right. They cut them right in two. But what do you think he means by the fact that a mixed unit? What do you think that means?
I would assume that means it's just people, just what it is, people from different units. There's, say, you know, people from A company, B company, C company, just kind of all together because either their units have kind of gotten killed and they've just had to form these weird groups, or they kind of bring it up every so often in the film, throughout the film, that people were jumping and their target is, you know, here, but they landed 20 miles in the other direction. So wherever they landed, they just kind of banded up with other people and off they went.
Right. Okay, exactly. I mean, it's mentioned a lot in Band of Brothers, and it's touched upon here, the fact that they're during the drop of the paratroopers, the 101, the airborne troopers, there was a lot of men that landed in various areas, and you know, not everyone was together, and they basically made makeshift units to get to where, you know, to the rallying point and things like that. So that's one of the things that he's talking about here, that, you know, he himself here is a paratrooper. So, you know, here we have the paratroopers that showed up, and some of them managed to stick together and some of them didn't. And, you know, when we'll talk about this later, you know, when we're at the rally point where we have the plane that's crashed and stuff like that. We'll talk about that probably in, I think it's in it's a few weeks from now, whatever. And, you know, one of the things that they talk about there was that men just came, and then, you know, commanders would show up and put together a makeshift group and just move on to the, you know, to go to the next target and things like that. So, yeah, I just like the way that he just throws that out there, meaning that everyone is aware of the fact that this is something that's going on. You know, we have this problem with these mixed units that all these people are just showing up and we don't know what to do with them. So maybe Ryan is one of those guys, mm-hmm. you know, which I find it really funny, the fact that Miller truly believes that whoever he's going to ask is going to know. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of soldiers, U.S. soldiers that have landed on D-Day. And, you know, just to randomly ask, and he'd be like, oh, hey, do you know Nick Rehak? And he'd be like, I don't know.
You know, Rehu?
I have 100 people under my command. I don't remember that name, but maybe he's in one of the other, you know, thousands of groups that are around here. I don't know. So I love the way that Horvath said it a few weeks ago. He says it's like finding a needle in a stack of needles. Yeah, that's more or less what they need to find here.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so it's just great the way that they do that. Okay, so every Tuesday we have a segment called Tom Hanks Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five Tom Hanks performances. So, Nick, once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
My number five is Mike Sullivan from Road to Perdition. My number four is Carl Hanratty from Catch Me If You Can. My number three, I feel like it introduced a lot of people my generation to Tom Hanks, is Woody from the Toy Story films. My number two, Cap Miller in Saving Private Ryan. And my number one is Chuck Nolan from Castaway.
Really? Okay. Why is that your favorite one?
Something about it. It's just, here's a guy who's looking to do his job. He's just a type of logistics for FedEx. And he's hanging out and he's making it work. And then it just, something goes awry. And now he just has to survive on an island. The rest of the world is going on and he just has to make it work. He has to find food. He has to create shelter, fire, try not to go crazy. He tries to, you know, develop relationships with different sporting goods equipments. It's just, to me, a film that's always like really just stuck out and grabbed me. Even, you know, something like Green Mile that you could put up, just there's that extra level of something there that just keeps pulling me back and making me watch it.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I think it's a Zemeckis film, too. And one of the few Robert Zemeckis films where they weren't. Yeah, where they weren't like so over the top on like special effects, where they let the story and the performances be the reason you're seeing it, and not like, hey, look, come look at this movie. It's they're all de-aged, or oh, look at this movie. That's everybody's on a train somewhere. Like I don't know. I just feel like I miss the old Robert Zemeckis.
Okay, well, I mean, again, in Castaway, there is a lot of special effects.
Well, I mean, not to where it's like the whole reason for it. Like if you look at his latest film here, like it's just a one shot. And it's, you know, different scenes throughout the years of this one particular spot of land. Or if you look at like The Walk, where, you know, I mean, all the effects based on that, you know, what I mean? Like Christmas Carol, where it's very CGI heavy, stuff like that. I mean, obviously, you're going to need effects for plane crashes and things like that. But that wasn't like the crux of it. The crux of it was this person and the story. And I feel like lately it's been more style than substance. I guess that's how I should have put it.
Right. OK. All right. That's fair. That's definitely fair. All right. So thank you for that. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find Nick Rehak?
They can find me over at rabbitholepodcasts.com. I'm also a frequent contributor, if you will, to the Exploding Helicopter podcast. Recent episodes I've been featured on, we talked about The Day the Earth Stood Still, Deadly Encounter, Carter, The Towering Inferno, as well as Where Eagles Dare. So feel free to check out that show as well. Exploding Helicopter. I think it's just explodinghelicopter.com. Sorry, Will. I don't know the website offhand, and I feel like I should. But check it out, the Exploding Helicopter podcast.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. Or if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. Solitude, you haunt me with reveries of death.